Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Why does Joseph Smith always seem to get a pass? I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. You know, there are many things that we read in the Old Testament that seem very odd to us coming from a 21st century Western worldview. And much of the strangeness, however, attached to Joseph Smith happened less than 200 years ago in an American culture, not much unlike what we have today. So what we'd like to do is ask some very poignant questions like, okay, Joseph Smith did a lot of things that we consider strange today, but what if Thomas S. Monson, the current president of the Mormon Church, was to do these same things? Would that have any type of an influence on members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, or even an influence on those who are observers of the Mormon Church from the outside?
First question, Bill, what if Monson declared today that he saw both God the Father and Jesus Christ?
I think that's a great question. Of course, that was one of the problems that the early church, or I should say the church in 19th century America, had with Joseph Smith. He made that claim that he saw God the Father and Jesus in a vision. But yet we know from the Old Testament that if anybody actually sees the person of God the Father, that they wouldn't live to tell about that. So that, of course, became a very big issue with a lot of the people when the issue of the first vision, I should say, came about, because that was not an issue when the church was first founded. We don't find the first vision story even being told in an official type form until several years after the Mormon church was founded. But if Thomas Monson was to all of a sudden announce, I saw God the Father in Jesus, what would a lot of the Christian people who have been defending the Mormon church even say about that? I think that's fair.
And the late night comedians would have a heyday with that as well.
Certainly,
I'm sure
they would.
What if Monson openly declared in conference and said on CNN that all the Christian churches were wrong and all their creeds were an abomination in God's sight?
Now, that's an interesting question, because that is an official position of the Mormon church to this very day. It is unofficial. Position. It's found in their scripture. And yet many times the Mormons tend to play that victim card whenever they are challenged on their claim to Christianity. But let's not forget, folks, the premise of the Mormon church, the foundation of the Mormon church, is this idea that Christianity is in a complete state of apostasy. If it wasn't for that, even B.H. Roberts, one of their own 70, said there would be no reason for the Mormon church to exist. Even though it's in their scripture, the Mormons have learned that it's probably better not to keep saying that openly like the Mormon leadership did during the 19th century. But bear in mind, every time you hear a Mormon leader refer to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints as the only true church, they're saying your church is wrong. Your church is wrong. And remember, the Mormons get really upset when outsiders say that about them.
What if Monson was known to be a treasure seeker in his younger days?
That's interesting. What if it did come out that Thomas Monson, as a young boy in his teens, late teens, or even continued to be a treasure seeker? Because Richard L. Bushman, a Mormon historian, a very well-respected Mormon historian, in his book Joseph Smith, Rough Stone Rolling, on page 51, said that Joseph never repudiated the stones. Okay, this would include the stone that he put in the hat in order to translate the Book of Mormon from the Reformed Egyptian into English. He never repudiated the stones or denied their power to find treasure. Remnants of the magical culture stayed with him to the end. So let's refine that question. Say, what if Thomas Monson was still dabbling in folk magic and magic rocks and such? What would Mormons say about that?
D. Michael Quinn had written a book called Mormonism and the Magic Worldview, where he acknowledges all that, Bill.
He has no problem with it.
No, not at all. He actually defends it. Well, what if Monson claimed to have translated a book using a rock and a hat?
Okay, we had just talked about that. That's, I think, fair, because Joseph Smith, in fact, did. Many of the pictures that we see in Mormon publications, including the October 2011 Ensign magazine on the inside cover, shows Joseph Smith looking at the gold plates, running his fingers across the plate. That was actually the cover, I think, of an Ensign back in 2001, but that picture has been used a lot. And many Latter-day Saints have this idea that that's how he translated the plates, by actually looking at them with his naked eye. That's not how Mormon contemporaries said that. They said that Joseph Smith, for instance, Emma Smith, David Whitmer, William Smith, Martin Harris, all said that Joseph Smith had a seer stone, this peep stone, as they were called, and that he would put this rock into a hat, and then he would put his face in the hat, the spiritual light would shine, and then characters would appear on the rock, and he would read those characters off to a scribe. When they were read back and they were correct, they would go on to the next set of characters. What would Mormons say that if Thomas Monson said he was producing a new book for Deseret Book, and he did it by putting a rock in a hat? What would Mormons say about that?
Well, a lot of them may not even know that today, Bill. My daughter took the information she learned from our conference on this very issue, and she went and told one of her friends about that and showed her the information, and her friend denied it, said it couldn't have been. He would have never done it that way. He translated the plates by reading them. So,
well, the picture she's probably seen.
We're talking a high schooler, so yeah. And they're going to seminary there.
Absolutely.
Well, Bill, what about some of the racist comments that Joseph Smith had said?
Well, one of the things that Joseph Smith said that I think most Mormons might have a problem with is that he, in the history of the church, this is found in volume 5, page 217-218, Joseph Smith said, "Had I anything to do with the Negro, I would confine them by strict law to their own species and put them on a national equalization." Now, what if Thomas Monson said something like that?
He'd be crucified.
Now, a Mormon might say, well, yeah, but that was kind of a sign of the times in which Joseph Smith lived. Well, that may be true, but we find that a lot of Mormon leaders were certainly a part of the times, and they were often saying things that today would be very offensive. The question we have to ask is, well, does God really change on that issue? Is that really what God would want, even back then? Is that what God would want? I would tend to say no, and that's what a whole civil war was fought over, was on this very issue.
What if Monson was known for seducing married women and young women in their teens, Bill?
And there is plenty of evidence to show that Joseph Smith did just that. In fact, when Joseph Smith made advances towards Nancy Rigdon, who at that time was only 19 years old, and you have to remember at this time Joseph Smith was in his 30s, he actually did try to seduce Nancy Rigdon, and Nancy Rigdon rebuffed him and would not allow those advances to have anything at all happen. And so what does Joseph Smith do? Instead of repenting for his awful sin, he makes an excuse for it. And he comes up with this statement in a letter that he sends to Nancy Rigdon, where he tries to defend his behavior by saying, "That which is wrong under one circumstance may be and often is right under another." Now, that's found in the teachings of the prophet Joseph Smith, pages 255 and 256, but you can also find a more complete story in a book called Sidney Rigdon, Portrait of Religious Excess, written by a man by the name of Van Wagner. And that's found on page 295 in that book. But certainly Joseph Smith made amorous advances towards a lot of women, many of whom already had husbands. If Thomas Monson was to do that today, what would a Mormon say about that? Would they excuse him like they excused Joseph Smith? And let's be serious, many Mormons do excuse Joseph Smith for doing that. They always find some kind of reason to allow Joseph Smith to get away with things that if it was anybody else, they would have a definite problem with that.
We were up at Manti a few years ago when the local church members there, or Christians, decided to put out a display of women who were the polygamous wives of Joseph Smith. And it was amazing to watch, because he did get married to 33 different women, and a lot of Mormons didn't know that. They always knew that about Brigham Young. I stood by as the Mormons would go by, and they would say, that's not true. And then once they were confronted with the facts, there were several who finally realized it was true, because they looked at the evidence that these girls had the information for each of these wives on their little plate there. And
a little placard of, it was a little sign that they all had that kind of told the history.
And then all of a sudden, it was okay, and they started to defend it. It was just amazing to me to watch that transformation.
I have noticed that trait many times. Whenever you present some evidence to a Mormon that they find shocking, they'll immediately disavow it and say, oh, that's not true. And then when you show them the evidence, well, I guess it is true. And I thought, wait a minute, just a minute ago, you had a real problem with this, and now you don't. I find that to be a very odd characteristic.
Not just odd, I think it's very dangerous.
Yes.
What if Monson had secretly married several women but continued to lie to his wife and to his church about those relationships?
And again, Joseph Smith certainly did that. We know for a fact that Emma never liked the idea of plural marriage. Joseph Smith had a very difficult time dealing with Emma over that issue. And even in their book, Emma Smith, Mormon Enigma, the Mormon authors of that book admit that even though she may have known about some of them, she did not know about all of them. In fact, when rumors were going around Nauvoo about her husband, she actually spoke to the Relief Society about how they can try and quench these rumors, little realizing she was actually speaking in front of some of the very women who were a part of those rumors. Now, if Thomas Monson was doing that, how would Latter-day Saints take that? Would they allow him to get away with that?
This next one, Bill, is an interesting one for me as a journalism major. What if Monson ordered the destruction of a printing press that wrote negative articles about his behavior?
And we know Joseph Smith was involved in that as well. He was on the city council that had the Nauvoo Expositor destroyed when they printed things that he didn't like about him. And now, you might say, well, what about the unsavory characteristics of some of the people in the Bible, like King David? And I think what needs to be mentioned before we close here is, in those kind of situations, we know David, for instance, was very repentant about those issues. We see a whole Psalms that deal with that. We don't find repentance on the part of Joseph Smith for many of these things. He doesn't repent at all. He somehow manages to justify himself in behaving this way, as well as many Mormons today sadly justify Joseph Smith for doing what he did.
He gets a free pass then, huh, Bill?
Yeah, I really think that if this was set in a modern setting, there would probably be a great outcry if Mormon leaders were doing what Joseph Smith did back then. The Mormon needs to ask themselves, is this consistent?
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Is there not much of a difference between Mormonism and Christianity? Well, actually, despite what many may think, there is. And when it comes to this sensitive and even highly charged issue that has eternal ramifications, the Christian may not know where to turn. Just trying to understand the Mormons' beliefs can be both confusing and frustrating. That's why Mormonism 101 was written, a book resource by Mormonism Research Ministries' Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson that contrasts vital doctrines such as who is God, what is Scripture, and how a person is able to go to heaven. When the two religions are placed side by side, the differences are many. Mormonism 101 is a tool that will help you better understand the doctrines of your Latter-day Saint friend, family member, or co-worker. And it even has witnessing tips available to help you in future conversations. Published by Baker Books, Mormonism 101 is available at mrm.org or ask for it at your favorite Christian bookstore. As 1 Peter 3 says, always be prepared to give an answer.